And today we'll continue with holistic small groups. It is important that we have small groups, or as we call them here, home groups. And I want to encourage all of you that, of course, not the people that just came for today, but all of you that consider yourself part of Vineyard Groningen, that you see this as your home church, I want to encourage all of you, if at all possible, to join a home group. We have 13 home groups. That includes the prayer groups, that includes the men's breakfast group, that includes all the student groups, and some, you know, good old regular normal home groups. And they all kind of do the same thing, and that is they do fellowship, they do Bible study, and prayer. And now some of the home groups focus more on prayer, some focus more on Bible study, some focus more on fellowship. Doesn't really matter as long as all three ingredients are there. So some have a different focus. They all meet on different nights of the week, or you can even start a group and do it on Saturday morning if you'd like, you know, just take a walk somewhere and connect and discuss the Bible and pray for each other. It can look like anything, but I want to encourage all of you to join a home group, because it's really a hallmark of a healthy church. Churches that are healthy and are growing quickly discovered they needed to gather around in smaller groups of people to encourage spiritual growth, for one. And secondly, you know, as the church gets larger, you can't know everyone anymore. I'm already here now for 3 months, and I don't know all of your names even, let alone how you are doing and what your job is or what you're going through in life and who you're connected to. But it's important to be known. So the larger a church grows, the smaller it needs to grow. It becomes more vital that there are home groups. So I'm very proud that we have 13 home groups here in Vineyard Groningen. And I hope that we can add more and more of those and that everyone will find a place in there. Because if you really dumb it down, and I like dumbing things down. I know that most of you are smarter than me and have university degrees or are working on those. But I like dumbing things down a little bit. And I see that our church is really meeting in two different forms. One is in rows and one is in circles. We meet on rows on Sunday morning for this inspiring worship service, and we sing, and we listen to a message, and we pray for each other. That's it. We're meeting in rows. We're sitting in rows. But the other place where we're meeting is in circles. It's in smaller groups, and we gather around coffee, cookies, and Christ. And so, yeah. And really, this is where the rubber hits the road. I believe that's the correct saying. It's where this is where it really happens. I know that a service can be very inspiring, it can be fantastic, it can be good, but it's never meant to be your complete church experience. And that is how some of us do approach it. They see church as what happens on Sunday morning, but church is really where people gather around Christ and grow together. And one of the most well-known circles that people have met in, of course, are the Knights of the Round Table. I don't know if you've heard of them, maybe only from the Monty Python movie, but there are the legends of King Arthur, and in the legends of King Arthur, it's all about the knights that gather around the round table. The King Arthur, according to the legends, I don't know if it's true, it's probably not, but, you know, Wikipedia said so, he gathered the knights from his country around a round table, symbolizing the equality. So there was a lot of rivalry going on, but he gathered the knights, and when he did, he gathered them at the round table so that everyone could look at each other, and also that there was no head of the table, there was no leader. They were equals. They were equal. They gathered as equals. They came as equals. And I think that's gathering in a circle is such a beautiful image of how we can gather as a church family as well, regularly, as equals, and facing each other, looking each other in the eye, that sort of intimacy. And there's a lot of circular gatherings, maybe some other pictures. There's the team huddle, of course, if you know. There's the team huddle. There's this sense of team there. There's a sense of excitement. The next one, another team huddle for all the South Africans, English, Australians, and Indian people, of course, the cricket players. Or at least hockey players, no cricket. Anyway, next one. There's the campfire. The best conversations always happen around the campfire. And I was just thinking last night, should we build a campfire place into our backyard, honey? That would be so fantastic. And just have great, because the best conversations happen around a campfire. And the best burning wounds as well. And then, of course, the hip-hop circle. I'm not a hip-hop person, but I just thought of this and I thought it was fun. They're in a circle, and then the one in the middle is doing the dancing and stuff. But there's this sense of unity when you gather people into a circle. There's a sense of team. There's a sense of shared ownership of a certain goal. And I want to give you 5 reasons today to enter one of our circles in Vineyard Groningen, which are called home groups. 5 reasons. So I had less time, so I decided not to go for a 3-point sermon, but for a 5-point sermon. But I'll go through them quickly. All right. The first one is our need for community is part of our design. God made us this way. We crave, connection. We crave community. All of us do. And the more and more our world is individualizing and, real relationships are replaced for virtual relationships and virtual friendships. And the more our world is materializing and as we're striving for success and focusing on ourselves, more and more we do that, the more and more all of us, we start to crave real relationships. Touching another person, just by the shake of a hand, or just being connected to people. We all crave it. Extroverts and introverts, we all crave real relationships. You know, God made Adam, and it was good, but something wasn't right. And he didn't give him an iPhone, he gave him Eve. He gave him another person. He was not complete until he was in a relationship, until he was connected to someone else. And God doesn't only look at individuals. I believe that he does. He looks at all of us as individuals, but also at us as couples or families or extended families or as a people, or as the family of God. And this is how he approaches us. Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 21 says this, "So now you Gentiles," again, Gentiles are non-Jews, "are no longer strangers and foreigners that are brought into this, the people of God. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, your Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." We are connected together, and so we need to be connected together also on a deeper level. We need to find a place where we can get connected to other people, and it's just easier if that's a smaller group of people gathered in a circle where we can connect it and grow deeper in our faith together. God hasn't only saved us from something, but also into something. He has saved us from darkness to light. He has saved us from the world into the family of God. So we are part of this, and we need to be strongly connected to the rest of the family of God. Secondly, we experience God's power when we seek him in unity. Matthew 18, "I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything that you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." This is where Jesus stresses the importance of unity of believers. And however small that unity may be, it may even be two people or even three people, if there's unity amongst Christians, then God is there and he's present and he sees it as fertile ground to do something powerfully. We see an example of this in Acts 4. On their release, Peter and John, quick backstory, Peter, and this is shortly after Pentecost, Peter and John, in the name of Jesus, they healed a layman. And it was an opportunity for them to preach. They started preaching and they got arrested by the religious authorities. And they had this whole discussion with them. And finally they were released. But it had been an exciting day. And what do they do? Peter and John went back to their own people. They went back to their home group and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Question to you is, do you have people to go to when your life is in a storm? Do you have people to go to? Because you need them. We all need them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They're praying together. And again, this word together, I explained this a couple of weeks ago around worship. This word together is in Greek, homo thymadon, and it's, homo means one, and thymos, means passion or accord. So it's in one accord. It's in this unity, this united passion that they're praying. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, when we come together in unity, sharing the same passion, God moves powerfully, powerfully. Point three. We need to be challenged. At least I do. And I think so, this is how sermons work for me. I think it applies to me, so I assume it applies to you as well. So I need to be challenged. We all need to be challenged. And when we gather in a circle, that's where we can be, we can be challenged. Now, I know that my messages can be life-changing, and that my messages are challenging. At least it's a challenge to go through 30 minutes of my, of listening to my preaching. Anyway, my sermons may be challenging, but they're not going to change your life. It's when the things that I say may help you to move in a certain direction and may be teaching to you. But life change really happens when a friend looks you in the eye and says the exact same thing. When a friend that you know and that knows you and that you know loves you deeply and will, you know, put his hand in the fire for you, when that person looks you in the eye and says, you know, God has an amazing plan for your life, or you really need to let go of that part of your life, that sin, or you really need to surrender all your worries and all your struggles around your family to God, that's when we'll be more inclined to do so. So I can preach whatever great sermon that God is putting on my heart, but it's really in those intimate relationship where life change happens. And so that's why we all need to be in a circle, because we need to be challenged. The thing is, we all have blind spots. And the thing with blind spots is, we don't know what they are, because they're blind spots. And so we need other people around us that love us and can tell us the truth in love to uncover those blind spots so that we can work on them. Hebrews 10, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We need the encouragement and the correction even from other people in order to live a full Christian life. We need it. You and I, we both need it. There's something about meeting together around an open Bible that can just be life-changing. I remember that I was recently, in the last year, in my previous church, I was part of a men's group. And all we do is drink coffee, eat cookies, and discuss Christ. Open the Bible, read a chapter, and whenever any one of us felt like, hey, what is it saying here, we'd discuss it. It was just a discussion around an open Bible. It's a men's group, and I believe that in men's groups and in a women's group, conversation just flows a little bit more naturally. It was that's how it was for us, so I assume it applies to you. And there were these great conversations, just openness and sharing personal struggles, or sharing like, you know, my wife told me this the other day and really got me thinking. I don't know what to do with it, and just, oh, open, honest, and God is at work there. And God's word also comes to life more and more when we gather around, because I have my insights into the Bible, but you may have different from a different angle, these new insights that will enrich my life. So that's why I believe we all need to gather in circles and discuss the word of God there. Four, in a group, we can care for each other. In a group, we can care for each other. Home groups is our primary system of care, caring for each other, of spiritual care for each other, pastoral care. Galatians 6, I love this, let this speak to you, it speaks for itself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think that you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I love that. You are not that important. And I guess that we need to gather in circles to be reminded we are not that important. There's stuff going on in someone else's life, and what I've received from God, I might just be able to share with that other person. Caring for each other is the responsibility of all of us, not just a few that happen to be gifted in the area of pastoral care. We have a pastoral care team, and we will take on like pastoral care cases and go into depth with someone and not overburden all our home group leaders with all the care for everyone. But the normal care for each other, pray for each other, encouragement. When someone is sick, that we bring meals, or when someone, there's something about bringing meals, you know, around when a child is born or something else. We care for each other. We share each other's burdens. There's a lot in the Bible about that. We also have a trained pastoral care team that will help people when they need further help, just so you know. Number 5, this is where I'm finishing. In a group, we find healing and we find restoration. See, when we receive the grace of God through repentance and believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we entered into this relationship with God, and God started to work on us and in us. He started this work of redemption to the purposes that He created us for, and He started this work of healing and restoration, whatever was broken. And I believe that God is putting people on our path that can help us with this, because some of it happens instantaneously. God heals like this, but some of the healing and the restoration God does through a process, and especially in connection to other people. James 5 verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. God is putting people on our path to help us find healing. He has made it and designed us in such a way that we need others to help us with this. And so we need together, this is when I believe, when you enter into a safe circle of friends and you share your troubles, your burdens, your sins, your challenges, your doubts and your weaknesses, and the people in your circle, the people in your home group are advising you lovingly. They pray with you. They walk with you through whatever you're going through. They are not afraid to say the truth to you in love. I believe we need this. We will find restoration through this, and we'll find healing through this, and we'll discover God's plan for our life through this process. So this is my heart for all of you. I want you to be connected to others, because we weren't created to go through life alone. Now, practically, on our website, there's a link with an overview of all the home groups. If you want to join, if you're not connected in a home group yet, email one of those leaders. Just see that there's a short description on there what they're doing. They do fellowship, they do prayer, and they do Bible study. Just but some have a different focus. They gather on a certain night in the week and at a certain frequency. Some of them meet weekly, some biweekly. And you can connect to one of those home group leaders to sign up for that home group. Now, if that home group is already full, don't be discouraged. Pick another one. If the home group is full as well, email me, info@vineyardgroningen.com, and we will help you to find a home group. Now, if there's too many people and too little home groups, we'll start more home groups. So I really, really want you to get connected into a home group. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the family of God. We thank you that we can get connected to other people, and that this whole craving in us for real relationships in this world that is in